This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm Mac Pritchard, your host and publisher of Mac's List. I believe that to find a job you can love, you must stop spending all day on job boards. That's because as many as 80% of all jobs never get advertised. To find these hidden positions, you must learn how to look for work. Here's the good news. Job hunting is like any skill, and you can get good at it with study and practice. This show helps you do this. Every Wednesday on Find Your Dream Job, I talk to a different career expert. We discuss tactics and tips you can use to find your dream job. Our guest this week is Austin Belchak. He's the founder of Cultivated Culture. Austin is an expert in how to find and get a job without applying online. Competition for the best jobs remains fierce, even with record unemployment, and especially when you turn in a formal application. In my conversation today with Austin, he shares how a typical hiring process works. He tells us how many applicants get interviews and how many don't. And I have to warn you, the numbers may depress you. But Austin has good news too. He says that you can improve your odds of getting hired if you build relationships inside the company. Austin tells us how to do this, and he also explains how you can make this person your champion. Want to learn more? Listen in now at the Mac's List studio as I interview Austin Belchak about how to get a job without applying online. Now let's turn to this week's guest expert, Austin Belchak. Austin Belchak is the founder of Cultivated Culture. He teaches people unconventional strategies you can use to land a dream job. And he says you can do this without connections, without traditional experience, and without applying online. He joins us today from New York City. Austin, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, Mac. Thank you so much for having me. I am a big fan of the Find Your Dream Job podcast and very excited to be here with you today.
Well, thank you, and it's a pleasure to have you on the program. Our topic today is something that is going to be unfamiliar, I think, to many of our listeners, and it's how to get a job without applying online. And I think most job seekers today, they think the first step when they're looking for work is to sit down at the computer and start looking at job boards. And you say you don't have to do that. So I'm very excited about our conversation.
Likewise. And you're definitely right. I think a lot of people out there, statistically speaking, the data shows that about 75% of job searchers use online applications as their main channel for applying for roles. And there's about 41 million people out there every day, at least in the United States, looking for jobs. So there are certainly a lot of people who are applying for jobs online, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's the best channel. As you know very well, the career space and the job market has shifted over the past 5 to 10 years. And it's sort of increasing at an exponential rate in terms of the amount of technology and processes that are being added on a daily basis. So when you do apply online these days, you actually only have about a 2% chance of landing an interview. And when you're coming from a non-traditional background like I was when I started my job search journey a couple of years ago, you really have no shot at all because there are a whole bunch of factors that go into the online application process, which we can talk about, that sort of push people from non-traditional backgrounds to the bottom and really focus in on people who are either qualified or overqualified for those jobs. And so it becomes a bit of a daunting task when you're applying to all these jobs, you have a 2% chance of landing an interview. And then at the end of the day, only one person is going to get hired for that role. So I personally went through this myself, and I can talk a little bit more about that in my experience. But that led me to try and find an alternative route, basically trying to apply online to hundreds of jobs, failing, not getting an offer. So I had to change my tactics. And that is where Cultivated Culture, my website, and this strategy of landing jobs via referrals without applying online all stemmed from.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. And before we move on, I just want to call out that 2% figure because I did see that online as well. And it jumped out at me because if you apply to an Ivy League college, in somewhere between 5 to 11% of applicants get in, So if only 2% of applicants to online jobs are getting interviews, and then as you point out, only one person is actually getting the job, you've actually got a better chance of getting into Harvard, don't you, than getting an interview through an online application.
You do. And the crazy thing to me too is the 2% is an average, right? So when we're talking about highly competitive and sought after companies, your Googles or maybe like a SpaceX or a Tesla or a Facebook, I think the percentages are even lower due to the sheer volume of applications that they get. Whereas Harvard, you're talking about, is at the top of its game there. So the numbers are definitely daunting when you put it in that perspective.
And I do want to add, as some listeners may know who visited the MaxList website, we run a job board in the Pacific Northwest. We publish about 500 job listings a month. We're very proud of the value we offer readers and job seekers, as well as our employers. But we're also big believers at MaxList in stepping away from the computer and using many of the ideas I know you're going to talk about. So this is going to be a great conversation. So tell me, Austin, these are certainly intimidating odds as we talk about these numbers. Why do employers use these methods? What's in it for the employer?
Absolutely. So the employers are all about scalability. Like we said, they're getting so many applications, especially if you're talking about top companies here. And so they need a way to weed through all the applicants and to try and find the best one, because somebody at Facebook or somebody at Google doesn't have the time to manually sift through hundreds, if not thousands, of resumes for each position. So what these companies do is they employ something called an applicant tracking system in most cases. And what that does is it sits behind the scenes. And when you submit your online application, you know, you upload your resume, you maybe answer a few questions, pop in your cover letter, and you hit the submit button. This tracking system is going to go through and scan your resume for keywords, key phrases, experience, etc. And that's what's going to decide whether you make it to a pair of human eyeballs or whether you get kind of tossed in the trash and maybe receive that automated rejection letter. So a big part of it is scale. But on top of that, I think these companies are, again, they're about profitability and they're about operating efficiently. And one of the biggest things I think companies overlook, and one of the main reasons I think the hiring process is broken today, is because there are a ton of people out there that want to change careers, right? I think there's some stat that I read recently. I think it's about 70% of people out there are in jobs that do not pertain to their college major. So people study for something for 4 years, then they go out into the real world and they find that maybe that thing isn't for them anymore, or the job in the real world is different than what they expected when they were sitting in a classroom learning about it. Or maybe they just had a change of heart via a life event or something else. But whatever that reason is, we're finding that people are wanting to make a change. They're wanting to explore new things. But the problem is these companies are very, very concerned with getting the bang for their buck, right? If they hire somebody who isn't a good fit and moves on or doesn't perform up to expectations, that's a lot of money out of the company's pocket. So they try to be risk averse. And in being risk averse, they fall back on these metrics, which aren't quite as reliable as they used to be. Back in the day, 5, 10, 15 years ago, having a degree from a place like Harvard, like you mentioned before, having that 4.0 GPA, that was really, really important and indicative of somebody who would be a good hire. But now, with so many opportunities to learn new things online, a lot of the times for free, or to even start up projects on your own, be it a blog or building something if you're a computer programmer, or starting a graphic design portfolio, anything like that, people can do that and they don't need a college degree anymore. They don't need that certificate, that piece of paper. And so companies haven't quite caught up to that yet. They haven't figured out a way to look at the traits that make a great employee. Instead, they're still stuck on some of these traits that they've been used to using for 10, 15 years or so. And that's causing them to miss out on a lot of hiring opportunities. But on the flip side, as a candidate, that's probably why you're not hearing back from a lot of these jobs that you're applying to.
So employers use these applicant tracking systems to manage the huge number of applications that are coming in, to manage risk, and also to manage the time of the hiring managers who are in charge of reviewing these materials. let's talk about that. That's why these systems exist. Let's talk about how to beat those odds. And obviously, you're a big fan of applying, going around, whether a position is publicly posted or not, and not going through the online application process. I want to throw out one other statistic since we've been talking about numbers. Most jobs aren't posted on job boards, are they, Austin?
No, absolutely not. And I'm really glad you brought that up, Mac, because this was a light bulb moment for me. So if I may, I'll just jump back and tell my story briefly, concisely, because I think it's important to understand where I was coming from, because I think it's the same place that a lot of your listeners are coming from. And when I graduated from college, I'd always wanted to be a doctor. And I got to college. In my first semester, I failed chemistry. And then the next semester, I failed French. I'd found out about these extracurricular things like beer and parties and stuff that you find out about in college, and my mind kind of wandered. And so I never thought about the real world until graduation day. And being a doctor was out the window because my GPA when I graduated was a 2.5. And so I took this job that fell in my lap. My roommate's dad gave it to me. And I didn't interview at any other company. I had an internship with these guys. They offered me the job before my senior year. So I took it. And I didn't think about anything like, how's my manager going to be? Cost of living? How much is my apartment going to cost me every month? My car, the insurance on that, et cetera. And so I ended up in this job where I was driving 1,000+ miles every single week. And I had to be in the operating room at 6 a.m. and I was covering for other reps. And occasionally, you know, I would have to drive 200 miles to be there by 6 in the morning. So I was routinely getting up at 3 a.m. I got myself into about $10,000 of credit card debt because I took a $35,000 salary when my apartment on an annual basis was costing about 60 to 70% of that. And so it was a very rude awakening for the new grad, Austin Belsack here. And so I knew I had to make a change. And so I went to everybody that you would normally go to for advice. That would be my parents, my friends, my career counselors at Wake Forest, where I went to college, my professors, and even online blogs. And I would look at what these people were saying. I would ask them for advice, and the advice was all the same. It was tweak your resume, tweak your cover letter, find jobs online and apply for them, and rinse and repeat, because everybody told me it was a numbers game. If I applied to enough jobs, eventually some mud would stick on the wall, I would get that offer, and I would be good to go. And so I started doing that, and I ended up applying to about 300 jobs in the space of 2.5 months. And none of them got back to me. The only interviews I landed were through family friends who, it was kind of like a courtesy interview. They took pity on me, my situation. But at the end of the day, they would tell me, listen, we have to go with somebody else who actually has experience. So my goal was to break into the tech field. I wanted to work for a company like a Google, a Microsoft, or a Facebook. And all of these companies were turning me down left and right. I thought that having this 4-year degree that I spent a bunch of money on would at least get me my foot in the door. And that just wasn't the case. So about that same time, I was talking to somebody and they gave me a really good piece of advice, which is to only take advice from people who already have what you want. And so I looked around at the people I was taking advice from, and they were all incredibly, incredibly successful in their own rights. My parents, the professors I worked with, the people who started these amazing online businesses to help others, all very successful in their own right, but none of them had gone from a biology major with a terrible GPA and a job in medicine to working for Google. And so I thought to myself, you know, I need to find people who have done this before. And then I went out on LinkedIn and I found as many people as I possibly could who met those criteria. And I just talked to them. I asked them how they got to where they were, what obstacles they faced, what strategies they used. And I basically looked for commonalities between all of them. And I used that to shift my perspective. And one of the biggest light bulb moments was exactly what you mentioned about that stat, Mac, where not all jobs are posted online. In fact, the Wall Street Journal did a study where they found that only 20% of jobs are posted online. The other 80% are filled via word of mouth or referral. And that was crazy to me because if you think back to what we talked about earlier, we have 75% of people out there using online applications as their main channel to apply for jobs, but only 20% of the jobs are posted online. So if you're applying for jobs online, you're competing against 75% of the job market for only 20% of the openings.
It's an eye-opening statistic, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It was mind-blowing. I kind of got slapped in the face when I heard that. And so I asked these people, I corroborated it with them, and every single one of them, the number one thing that they had in common was that they landed their job via a referral, whether they knew that person beforehand or not. And I think we all know that the referral is important, right? Whenever you see a job posting, the first thing we all do is go to LinkedIn and we say, hey, who do I know? Do I have second connections? But chances are your buddy isn't sitting there at Google waiting for you to hit them up because you might not know anybody at Google or Facebook or your dream company. And so we have to build these relationships from scratch.
Okay. So let's pause there for a moment, Austin. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break because I know we're going to talk about how to get those referrals and how they can help you get that job at your dream company. So we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us and we'll return with Austin Belchak, who's going to talk more about how you can get a job without applying online. I love talking to people. It's one of the things I enjoy most about my job as publisher of MaxList. And I know it won't surprise you to hear this. I have a lot of conversations about job hunting. One of the questions I always ask someone is this: what's your job search goal? And most people give me the same answer. They say, I don't know, or I'm keeping all my options open. That's a mistake, and here's why. If you don't have a goal, you end up applying everywhere. And that makes your search longer and harder than it needs to be. Think about it for a moment. Putting together a good application means writing an original cover letter and revising your resume. To do these tasks well, you also need to research the employer. Altogether, you might spend about 2 hours on an application. Why would you work so hard for a job you may not want? Save yourself time and trouble. Get my new guide. It's called Finding Focus in Your Job Search. Go to maxlist.org/focus. In this free guide, I show you how both to explore and set your goals. And that will help you find and get the job you really want. Download your copy today of Finding Focus in Your Job Search. Go to maxlist.org/focus. And believe me, I know it's hard to get clear about goals. I struggled with this myself at the start of my career. It's one of the reasons why I was out of work for more than 6 months in my 20s. Once I had a goal, however, I found a great job. And you can too. Go to maxlist.org/focus. Again, that's maxlist.org/focus. And now let's get back to the show. All right, we're back in the MaxList studio with our guest expert this week, Austin Belchak. And our topic is one I know you feel very passionate about, Austin, and as do I, because I've had similar experiences in my own career in getting jobs that are never posted, never advertised, and doing many of the things that you were talking about in the first half of the interview. Let's talk about that now, because I know there are listeners who might be a little depressed by the numbers we've shared about the amount of competition that comes when you apply online, the number of jobs that are never posted. But you've got good news too. There are ways to find and get these so-called hidden jobs, the ones that are filled by word of mouth that make up the majority of the job market. How should a listener start? What's the first step?
Absolutely. So the first step is to get clear on the role that you want. And working with my audience for a couple of years now, we've had tens of thousands of job searchers come through, cultivated culture. That is a question in and of itself that we could have another podcast on. And there's a lot of information out there. So if you're not sure what you want, the first thing is to get clear on it. But when you do have an idea of the role, you want to get as specific as you can possibly get. So for this podcast, let's say that we want an account manager role at Google. Once we know the specific title, then the best thing we can do is find people who can have the most impact on our ability to get hired for that role. So when we're talking about networking and relationship building, it's not about quantity, but it's more about the quality of person that you connect with. And quality is judged based on the amount of impact they can have on our overarching goal. So now we need to go out and find these people. The person that would potentially be our peer, who would be sitting at the desk next to us if we were hired, or the person who might be our manager if we were hired. And the best place to do this is on LinkedIn. So if you fire up the platform and you use the search bar at the top, all you need to do is punch in the job title, the company name, and then if you're particular about a specific geography like I was, you might put that at the end. So if we're looking for this Google account manager job in New York, we might search for just that, account manager, Google, New York, and then hit submit. And that's going to give us a list of everybody who is already working in the job that we want. They've been through the journey that we're trying to go on. Now, you want to do a little bit of research on these people. It's very, very helpful if you can find a warm connection right off the bat. So if somebody went to your college, or maybe they went to a college in the same athletic conference, or maybe they're from the same area, or they attended the same boot camp or course, or maybe you're coming from a non-traditional background like I was, maybe I can go find somebody who used to be a biology major and now they transitioned to Google. So you're going to do a little bit of research. You're going to click on the profiles and you're just going to collect names and put them in a spreadsheet. And then you're going to go ahead and find their contact information. So one of the best tools out there for this is called Hunter, Hunter.io. So Hunter will let you put in somebody's first name, their last name, and the link or the URL of their company, and it'll spit out their corporate email address. It's a very powerful tool. Because it can get you the contact information for these people, it'll give you access to them. So the next thing we're going to do is we're going to reach out. And I have a whole post on how to do this. It's on my site. It's called How to Get a Job Anywhere with No Connections. It's stickied at the top of my blog. But it will walk you through this process in detail with templates and scripts if you need that. But what we're going to do next is we're going to take that email address and we're going to reach out to the person. And we're really going to make it about them. We're going to say, hey, Mac, I saw that you worked as an account manager at Google, and I was really, really impressed by your background. I was searching for account managers on LinkedIn, and the fact that you, let's say, started as a biology major and now work at Google in the tech vertical really stood out to me. Something that you can latch onto on their profile, put it in there, and then tell them, say, hey, I would love to, if you have a few minutes, I'd love to hop on the phone or go back and forth over email, just ask you a few questions about your career path, your journey, how you've been able to accomplish so much within the time that your career has been going within such a short time. And if you have a few minutes, I'd love to chat. Otherwise, you know, keep doing your thing. You're doing amazing stuff.
So you send that email to them. You're asking a very specific request. It's not, mm-hmm. Can we get together for coffee or can I pick your brain? Why are you so specific when you make that request?
Absolutely. I think that people are much more receptive if they know ahead of time what you're asking for. If you're just asking to get coffee or hop on the phone, this person doesn't know what they're getting into. You could be you're a total stranger, one. So you could ask some weird questions. You could ramble on for hours. You could waste their time. But if you tell them, hey, I only need a few minutes of your time, if you give them an out and say something like, I know your time is really valuable, no need to respond in depth. And then if you give them those specific topics that you want to talk about, they know that, okay, if I commit to this, it's only going to be a few minutes, 5, 10, 15 minutes or so. I'm going to have to answer these questions. I can do that. I already know how to talk about it. Okay, I'm in. So,
And how often do you follow up if you don't hear from someone?
Yes, that's a fantastic question. So I personally followed up until I heard from people or they didn't open my emails anymore. And one of my other favorite tools is called Yesware. So Yesware is an email tracker, and it basically lets you see when somebody's opened your email, how often they've opened it, where they've opened it, on what device. It sounds a little creepy, and I guess it is, but it's really, really effective because it helps you gauge interest. And when you're reaching out to these people, which may be why you asked this question, Mac, when you're a stranger and you're sending an email to another stranger, that person has priorities. They have their own life. They have their goals and things on their plate. So an email from somebody they don't know is probably towards the bottom. And so if they don't reply to you on your first email, that doesn't mean they don't like you or they don't want to talk to you. It usually 90% of the time in my experience, I found that it means they're simply busy. And so if you follow up with them, you bump it back up to the top and chances are good that you will hear back eventually. So my rule of thumb is if you use the email tracker, you send the email and if they open it more than once and hopefully across multiple days or different hours of the day, then you follow up. And if they only open it once or if they don't open it at all, you move on to the next contact. And I would send a follow-up every 5 business days as long as they kept opening my email until I either heard back from the person or they emailed me and said, you know, please stop contacting me anymore, which nobody did, by the way.
Okay. So once you do make that contact, let's go through the rest of the process because we've got 5 or 6 minutes left. Do you have that phone call? What happens, whether it's a phone call or maybe even an in-person meeting?
Definitely. So your main goal here is first to be natural and build the relationship. But if we are talking about an agenda, our goal is really to understand an angle that we can add value against. So I typically like to package that into one of 3 questions or all 3, which is asking the person what their biggest challenge is, asking them about upcoming initiatives, or figuring out their personal goals. So you have a bit of a natural conversation, you ask those questions, then you get specific with follow-ups, trying to get as much information as you can. And then after the meeting, what you're going to do is go out and you're going to do as much research on that problem as you possibly can. And you're going to come up with something that I call a value validation project, which is essentially a deliverable that proves out your value ahead of time. So it shows that you can do the job. It shows that you're qualified. It shows that you beat expectations. And you're going to send that back to them. So just to give you an example, I've had a whole bunch of people put together a wide variety of questions. And I have a whole consolidated list of them on my site too. If people head there, it's on the sidebar. But one girl, her name was Cam, and she was a student at Northeastern University. And she really wanted to work for Airbnb. So she followed all the steps we just talked about. And she had been applying online, et cetera. Nobody had gotten back to her. She'd even sent cold emails. She'd followed the follow-up rule and nobody had responded to her. So she actually ended up doing her own research. She went on social media and she looked through complaints for Airbnb. She found some hashtags and she saw what people were talking about. And 2 things really stood out to her. The first was that Airbnb doesn't have a specific keyword filter in their search. So if I want to find a listing that has a fireplace or definitely has a hot tub, I can't just search for that. I have to go through each listing one by one and then check manually. So that was one. And the second was that people were having a really hard time accessing or getting in touch with Airbnb's customer service team. So Cam took screenshots of all these people. She put it in a slide. And then she was looking for a UX user experience role. And so she mocked up solutions to both of those. She mocked up what a keyword search filter would look like and what the results would look like. And then she went ahead and pulled some data on live chat options. So adding that to the website, a way for people to connect with support teams immediately. She added some statistics, why they work, the money that they save, the time that they save, et cetera. So she packaged that all up into a deck and she replied back to all of the people that she had originally reached out to. 2 days later, she got an interview and a week after that, she got the job. So this is the kind of thing that we're talking about, figuring out challenges, be it through the connection that you've made with this person or doing your own research, which can be if it's a public company, you can listen to their earnings calls, you can listen to interviews with executives, you can read blog posts. You can go to sites like seekingalpha.com where people who are interested in investing in these companies write think pieces about why they think the company is going to do well or not and the challenges they're facing. There's a whole bunch of areas to source information from to find an angle. So it's definitely best if you can find this contact to give you the information, but they're not always going to be an open book. So you may have to do your own research. But regardless, our goal is to find a creative way to basically show this person that we are an incredible fit for the job by doing that job ahead of time. And this is the exact same thing that I personally did to prove out my value to Google, Microsoft, and Twitter, where I landed jobs despite having no background, no experience in the tech vertical, you know, coming from my poor GPA and my biology degree. And so what's going to happen is you send this deliverable back to your contact and you just say, you know, I really thought a lot about our conversation the other week. Thank you so much for sharing more about your challenges, et cetera. I thought a lot about them. I put together this deliverable. I'd love to get your thoughts on it. And you just send it over to them. And typically what will happen is they'll circulate it within the team internally. Remember, we're reaching out to people who will be sitting next to us or managing us. So they're in the best position to refer us in and actually be in the room when the hiring decision is made. So they'll circulate it around. And typically what they'll do is come back and say, this is amazing. You know, we have this open role on our team and we've been looking for somebody. Would you be interested in interviewing? And that person is then going to refer you in. So you don't have to apply online whatsoever. You skip that entire part of the process. You go directly into the interview process. And then you have this advocate who is going to be singing your praises throughout the interview process. And if you make it that far, is going to be in the actual room making the decision to choose who gets hired.
So have a goal. Know the companies you want to work for. Find ways to engage with people inside that company by doing online research and discovering what the challenges are for the firm. And then share your ideas for solving those problems. And by doing so, you'll convert the people you meet inside the firm into champions for you. And they'll share your work with others. And you'll both be a candidate for and discover jobs that are never posted. Is that a good summary of the process, Austin?
That is absolutely it, Mac.
All right. Well, I could talk for hours about this because I love this kind of networking and the strategy behind it, and especially the relationships that are key to this. Because again, we go back to that number that you cited from the Wall Street Journal. If only 20% of jobs are on job boards, how can we compete for the ones that never make it there? And you've laid out a great approach for how to do that. Austin, tell us what's next for you.
Absolutely. So I share a lot of information about this. I'm very passionate about finding new ways, creative ways, unconventional ways for people to get their foot in the door without applying online. So if anybody wants to learn more about how to make that happen for themselves, they can definitely go to my website. And I actually have a few free giveaways that have proven to get results for my audience so far. If they go to cultivatedculture.com/maxlist, I'm sharing 5 strategies that are easily the most effective across all of the ones I've tested with my audience in terms of landing jobs without applying online. I have a free mini video course called Rapid Resume Revamp to basically help people create a resume that will help them build relationships when they're not in the room with the person who's reading the resume, but also help them beat applicant tracking systems. And then finally, I do have a flagship course called Dream Job System, and I'm giving any of your listeners free trial access to that as well. So if people go to cultivatedculture.com/maxlist, that is all there. And they can absolutely, absolutely email me at austin@cultivatedculture.com. I read and answer all of them, and I would absolutely love to talk to anybody who's struggling and really needs some help getting to the next level in their career.
We'll be sure to include those URLs in the show notes for the episode, as well as on the website article. And I know listeners can also learn more about you and your company by visiting cultivatedculture.com. Austin, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Mac. It was great chatting with you, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care. Well, that was a terrific conversation with Austin. Especially liked his advice about what to do when you know where you want to work. But to use his ideas, it starts with a goal. He made this point. You gotta have a goal. And if you're struggling with this, don't fret. I mean, we all go through it. But take the first step to set that goal. And you can do that today. Download our new guide. It's called Finding Focus in Your Job Search. It offers a step-by-step process that you can use to both explore and set your goals. Go to maxlist.org/focus. Again, that's maxlist.org/focus, and get your free guide today. Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Find Your Dream Job. And join us next Wednesday. Our special guest will be Halali Azuli. She's going to explain how to network without the ick factor. So until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.